I really am thankful to God for every one of you who are here, and I pray for you. I've done that already in the service, and I hope you pray for me and others around you in the service. Do you realize today what a blessing it is to be in this place, in any house of worship? But here we are with others redeemed of the Lord sitting all around us, objects of God's amazing grace. What a blessing it is to be able to come and be surrounded by people like that. Yes, we're all sinners. We don't deny that fact. But sinners saved by grace. What a hope we have in Christ. I'm glad you're here today. I won't share with you the Word of God. Page 143 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. 143. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. And I guess you might say that our focus verse today, the one that begins all this line of thinking, is verse number 33. And when I had this on my heart, and this particular verse of Scripture here came to my mind real early in the morning, in the dark of the night, in the middle of the night, seemed like to me. And I just had to get up and turn the light on and get busy, because the Lord was putting things on my heart. So if you ever think that the only time a preacher studies is when he's in his office, you're mistaken. Sometimes, at least it is with me, it's in the dark of the night. God put something in the quiet of the night on my heart, and I began to have to meditate upon it and study it. And so just pray for me as I try to preach the Word of God. Here it is. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, exclamation mark, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out, exclamation mark. And when I thought about that verse and the things connected to it that I'll try to share with you today, I couldn't even give a title to my sermon. It wasn't until early this morning that I got the title for it. The title is the title of a song in our book, How Great Thou Art. That's what it's all about, folks, the greatness of our God. The Lord help us to understand. Would you join with me in your hearts as we try to pray? Father in heaven, we're not worthy to come to you, but we're so thankful through the worthiness of Christ and what He did for us that we can come to you as our Father. And as your children, to just by faith, take your hand and try to walk with you the best we can. Although we know from having watched an adult with a little child maybe hanging on to their fingers and stumbling along the way and sometimes having to be picked up and get started again, just makes us to realize that it's a lot that way as we try to walk with you. You're so much greater than we are, and we want to understand that today. Lord, open our eyes of understanding that we may realize more of your greatness. We'll never understand you fully here. Help us to see more of you, more of your goodness, your greatness, your grace, and bless us to glorify you and praise you and worship you in our hearts today. For you're worthy of worship and praise. You're deserving of it all. And what we do is not nearly enough. But help us. Bless us and use us for your glory and the glory of Jesus. I pray you'll bless each person here to receive your word, either with understanding, if that be the blessing, or if we can't understand it, and some things are too big for us to understand, then we do so by faith. But help us, Lord, to grasp it, hold it dear in our hearts. Thank you for the showers of rain that you've sent in the night. Have mercy, Lord, to send them as needed. And Lord, where they've had too much, it's beginning to dry out. Help those people to get their lives back in order and be able to go on with their lives again. Give them grace and guidance and all the blessings they need. Lead those who are to lead us. Forgive us where we fail you in sin. Bless us to see the truth of your word and to give you praise in our hearts. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Just for a very few minutes, I want to notice some of the things that are said in this passage. That what I understand this particular first verse is saying, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. What that really says to my heart, and if I'm understanding what God is saying to all of us, is just this simple fact of truth. God is too big for us to ever completely understand. We can search with great intensity, but we will never discover everything about the nature and being of God. And we won't know that until at last we're at home in heaven with Him. And then I'm trusting we'll know it all in the sweet by and by. But he goes on to say in verse 34, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Do you know what God's doing? Can you look into the mind of God and understand? I can't. There are a lot of things, and I'll get into some of those things a little later. There's a lot of things going on in the world today, and I just have to be honest, I do not understand. Now, we can't look in the mind of God. We don't know what God is thinking. We don't know what is in the great knowledge of God. And then it asks the question, if you can't look into the mind of God, if you can't know the mind of God, he asks the question, or who hath been his counselor? Has God ever asked you for advice? He never has asked me for any. I have serious doubts he's asked any mortal of any of advice. And if a man gives his advice, a lot of times God will go the opposite direction. You remember in the feeding of the 5,000, when the disciples, you know what they wanted to do? There's this great crowd of people. All they got is five little loaves and two small fishes. What do they want to do? Well, let's just send them away. Did Jesus follow their advice? No. He said, have them sit down. They prayed and worked a miracle and they were fed. No, God doesn't have to ask you and me for counseling. We ought to ask God for His wise counsel a lot more than we do, but God doesn't have to ask us. And then it says in verse 35, or who hath first given to him? And it should be recompense to him again. In other words, did you give anything to God that he needed that made God who he is? No, you didn't. I'll tell you this, God gave first to us. When we give back to God, when we render, that word render means to give back to God, when we render to the Lord the things that are his, we're simply giving back what God's already given us. God didn't have a need that we met, and then God can respond to us. You know, sometimes people think that, but it's not true. And then it closes with this great declaration of praise and glory, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So it is, so shall it be. Isn't this a great passage of the Word of God? I'm so glad God put it on my heart and mind. As I've tried to study it, it's just opened up some things to my mind that I have to admit I don't fully understand them. I'm going to confess that up front. But it's opened my mind to some things that has made me literally sit in amazement at the greatness of God. In the beginning, God created us in His image and in His likeness. Genesis 1:26. Later on, the Bible tells us, in the words of God through the psalmist of Israel, David, in Psalm 50, verse 21, God said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. Now, I want you to get this point. God made us in His image and likeness. He created us in that way. But you know what's happened over the course of years and time? We have begun to try to create God in our image and our likeness. You ever think about that? We're doing it a lot of times by simply trying to put God in the bracket that we can understand Him in. You know, we want to relate to God and we get to thinking about it. Well, I think this, and therefore, because I think this is true, that means it must be that way with God. No, brothers and sisters, in most cases, the bracket of thought we're in, God is so much bigger and greater and magnificent than anything we can ever imagine. So we can't make God in our image. He made us in His image and likeness. But let's don't try to make God in our image and our likeness. Let's don't put human limitations on God. Let's don't restrict God and limit God in our minds by our thoughts and understandings and feelings and desires, because God will not be bound by our human limitations. You know, God said in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, and that's Isaiah 55:8-9. God is simply saying to Israel long ago, and to all of us who read that passage of Scripture, God is saying, the heavens are way above the earth. In fact, you and I don't even know how wide the gap between heaven and earth. It's farther than we could imagine. And God's saying, in that way, I want you to understand. God's saying His ways and His thoughts are so much above ours, we'll never find out all of His ways. We'll never understand all about God. He's just too great and magnificent for us to ever fully comprehend. When we talk about God, we generally talk about Him in three theological words. That God is an omnipresent God. Now, can you figure that out in your mind? Can you understand that? I'm here, not out there. You're there, not here. We are here, not at home. See? You see our limitation? I can't be in one place at the time. I don't care how hard I try. I might need myself coming around the corner, so to speak, but I'm still only in one place at one time. But here's the omnipresence of God, is that God is everywhere present at the same point in time. How did we know that? The Bible tells us that. See, all we got to do is to know about God is to read the Bible. We can't do it in our minds. We can't imagine God. We've got to read the Bible to understand Him. And the psalmist said, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Psalm 139, verses 8 and 9. See, in that day and time, the only air travel were birds. Man couldn't fly. So he said, what if I could be like a bird? What if I could sprout wings and fly? And I'd fly off to some distant mountain where nobody is. He said, I'd find God there when I got there. See? His hand would lead me and hold me. It's like us saying, if I got on a jet plane and went to the farthest part on the other side of the earth, guess what? God would already be there when we got there. That's magnificent, isn't it? God can do that. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that. Unlimited, He is. He's limitless. Second thing is that God's omniscient. That's a nice word. It means God knows everything. How do we know that? Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature in His that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In other words, God sees everything. God knows everything. I'm going to venture a guess today. I could be wrong. I'm a human. I'm going to venture to say every person here has at least one secret locked somewhere back in your mind. Something you don't talk about. Something of your past, perhaps, that you did or said. Something maybe that you hid from people when you were a child or even an adult. And you've never talked about it. And you've never let anybody know about it. And as far as you know, you're the only person who knows anything about it. I'll tell you, you're mistaken. God knows about it. You don't keep anything from God. You don't hide anything from God. You don't keep any secrets from God. God knows everything. I don't. Sometimes I may act like I know more than I do. That's human vanity. But I know there's a lot I don't know. But God knows everything. See? It's hard to wrap our minds around a God like that, isn't it? Well, there's another big word. Omnipotent. Which means God possesses all power. God is a sovereign God. And the verse of reference I'll give you is Revelation 19:6. Hallelujah. Praise be to God, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. God is an omnipotent God. He is a God of limitless power. And therefore, God can do everything and anything that God wishes to do. I can't. And I find as I'm getting older, there's more and more I can't do. Because my body's growing weaker. And I think sometimes my mind's growing weaker. But you know, time. God's timeless. And therefore, none of the things that affect us in time, none of them are affecting Him. He is a God who is a possessor of all power. You say, well, how do you know that? I want to give you quite a number of things to verify that. Remember what Genesis 1:1 and verse 3 says? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And He said, let there be light, and there was light. I want you to understand that God has so much power that God literally creates out of nothing. That's what He did. He just simply spoke and it existed. It came into existence. I wish I could do that. I wish all the little painting around my house, I've been intending to get to for the longest, and I keep just deferring it and letting it wait. And I wish I could just say, let all my woodwork be painted fresh, and walk outside and it was all wet with paint. But you know, I can't do that. You can't either. But God can create and do when there isn't anything to use to do it. He creates out of nothing. God has all power. You know, God who created the world and everything in it has control over it. I want to give you a couple of verses. You might remember these things, but I want to remind you of them. You remember there was a time in the history of the Bible when God caused the sun to stop in the heavens and the moon for about a day. I didn't say a whole day, but about a day. I can't tell you how many hours and minutes, but about a day is the language of Scripture. And you'll find it in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. There were five kings that came against him, and they were fighting specifically with the Amorites at that time. And God held the sun and the moon in its place. It did not pass across the heavens. It did not go down because God was bringing the victory. Now, put yourself in the enemy's place. They're on the losing end of this battle. And I'm sure, as I think about us in mortality, they were saying, you know, if we can just last through the day and we hang on till dark gets here, we can rest and get some food and refresh, and we can get out here and fight another day tomorrow. And they looked at that sun and said, it hadn't moved a bit. It's right where it was some segment of time ago. It's right there. It hasn't moved a bit. What are we going to do? See, did you know anybody but God that can stop the sun and the movement of the earth? I mean, the earth was rotating, as we know and understand it does. And the sun was up there shining upon it. And God just, He didn't have to reach out and grab it. He just thought it. And the earth stopped its rotation for about a day in the valley of Adullam. They won the victory. There's another time when God dealt with the sun. And you remember in the days of Isaiah and Hezekiah, King Hezekiah was a good king. God said, He sent Isaiah to tell him to get his house in order. He was going to die and not live. And so He told Hezekiah that, and he's on his way out of the temple. And Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and begins to pray to God. Mercy. God turns Elijah around and sends him back, Isaiah, and sends him back to give him a message that I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And I'm going to bless you to defeat King of Assyria. And the sign that I'm going to do it is that the sun, the shadow on the sundial of Ahaz is going back up 10 degrees. In other words, God didn't just stop the rotation of the earth. He put it in reverse and backed it up 10 degrees. I can't imagine that, can you? God did it. The Bible records it. Let me tell you something. If you just believe what you want to believe, and you exclude everything else, you're going to miss a lot of blessings in your heart. So You got to take God for His word. You got to say, I don't know how He did it. I can't understand how He did it. But I'm going to take the word of God as fact and truth, and I'm going to believe it. And then your heart will be blessed to say, my, what a God I worship and serve. I'll give you just a few more things in passing before I move on. But God did something, and I never read that He did it one time, but He made an ass or a donkey to talk. Did you know God could do that? Would you read Numbers 22, verse 28? And it will tell you the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, the donkey, and He talked to Balaam. Balaam's on his donkey, you know, he's going about his mischief. And God sends an angel, and that angel is standing in the way with a drawn sword. And Balaam doesn't see that angel, but the donkey does. And the donkey tries to go around it. I'll shorten the story. Balaam got so mad with him, he began to whip that poor old animal. And God opened that donkey's mouth, and he began to ask him, why in the world are you doing this to me? Why are you beating on me like this? What have I done to you? And you know, interesting thing, Balaam was so mad he didn't even think about the donkey talking to him. He started talking back to him. That's pretty good, isn't it? God did that. Never told us He did it but one time, but He told us He did it one time. And I'll tell you this, a lot of folks don't believe a lot of things in the Bible, but God made a whale swallow Jonah. Read Matthew 12:40. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ said that He was swallowed by a whale. I'm going to believe Jesus above what educators may say. There's a lot of people with brilliant great education, brilliant minds, and they'll tell you just like that, that a whale can't swallow a man, but I'm going to tell you, God made one that could. That's the God we are worshiping and serving. And let me tell you this, and it's even greater than that. And that is that God sent His Son into the world, born of a woman, not the union of a man and a woman as we are all born, but only just of a woman, a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, bring forth a man. And that Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God that was born into the world only with a mother, earthly mother. He had a father. God was His Father through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I don't understand all that either, but that's the power of God. He came born of the Virgin. He lived without sin. He died for our sins. And let me tell you something else. He rose to live again. 1 Corinthians 15:4 said He was buried and He rose again the third day. How in the world can a man be dead and be raised to live again? Only by the power of God. That's how big our God is. I'll tell you something else. God's big enough to save the worst sinner by His grace. I'll tell you, if there was ever a man that resisted God, Saul at that time was a man who did it. But I want to tell you something, with all his authority from the various leaders, religious and political of that day, he had no power over the power of God. And when the Lord Jesus came and introduced Himself to him, he knew who he was. Because he revealed himself to him. It's that way in your heart and mind. God saves us by His amazing grace. And it is amazing, isn't it? We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And I want to tell you something else. Not only are we sinners saved by grace, that means we're saved by what God did for us and not what we had to do for God. If we just had to do it for God to get saved, there wouldn't be a saved person here today. Because our humanity, our alien nature of depravity is against God. The only way we're turned to God is when He comes to us, and like Jesus introduced Himself to Saul, He comes one day and introduces Himself to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, Nicodemus didn't understand that. Am I going to enter my mother's womb a second time and be born? No, that's not the way it is. It's a spiritual birth, see? God has come to sinners, young and old alike, children and old folks, just with one foot in the grave. God can come, and He has. By His Holy Spirit, He enters into us, we're born again. And as we're touched by Spirit, we become people who are born again and saved by God's grace. And what a marvelous God it is that can do that here and wherever on the earth that so pleases Him. Now, one day He's coming back. Jesus is. Don't ask me how He's going to do it. I don't know how He went from here to there. I don't know how He'll come from there to here, except to tell you it will be by the power of God. So you see what I'm getting at today. I'm telling you a lot of things you can't figure out with this up here. You're going to have to take it by faith in here. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Now, with all that being said about God being so great and powerful, yet there are a lot of things in this world that trouble and beset us, don't they? In prayers, we hear people talk about the floods out there and fires a while back. And I've preached to you about a man in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, that was born blind. I preached to you more recently in Acts chapter 3 about a man that was born crippled. There are people born all the time in the world with all kinds of impairments and disabilities. Do you understand why God, who is sovereign, allows it? I don't. Except to say, as Jesus said to the Father, I believe in Matthew 11, 25, "Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight." In other words, God's sovereign. He'll do as He pleases. And He has a purpose in it. And you may not understand it, and I may not understand it, but God will do it because He understands His purpose and His accomplishments by it. And so wars are fought, and people die, and people get sick, and they get old, and they die, and all kind of human disability and limitations come upon us. And there are people who are saved, and there are people who are not saved. And how in the world can we understand all of that in the natural and spiritual realm? That God, who is sovereign, with whom all things are possible, that God would allow these things. And if He didn't allow them, they couldn't happen. And this sovereign God I'm talking about, for some reason and some purpose we don't understand, allows all that to be true in this world in which we live. And God doesn't have to explain Himself to you nor to me, because He's God. We have to explain ourselves to Him, but He doesn't have to explain Himself to us. So with all of these things that are going around us that so often beset us and disturb us in our hearts and souls, and we have to admit that God has allowed it, and we don't understand God doing it. So we don't fully understand God, do we? We can't find out His ways and discover all His paths. He hasn't asked us for our opinion or our advice. He has not asked us to be His counselor. All right, now all that being true, what can you do about it? You can frame in God like you won't frame Him in, but you won't hold Him there. You won't even have Him there. Your frame, the frame that you have in your mind, God's too big for you to put in that box. He's too big, too great, too powerful, too eternal. You can't do it. You can't discover Him. You can't understand Him. You can't find it all out. You can't know why God does this and doesn't do that. You're never going to figure it all out. You can lie awake every night and worry yourself to death, but you're never going to find out God. What can we do then? Well, when there are things we can't understand, what did God give us to help us to go on anyway? It's something called faith, isn't it? Through the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. See, in the fruit of the Spirit, in all those various and wonderful things that come as a result of the Spirit of God in us, one of them is faith. We don't understand it. If we cannot imagine how great God is, if we cannot contemplate the fullness of His eternal being, if we don't know why He does what He does, we can't understand it all. What can we do? Say, "Father, I'll exercise the faith you put in my heart, and I'll just take it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8-9. So if God gave you faith, why not use it? If you've got faith, why not put it to work and say, I don't understand God. I admit that. Can't comprehend Him. Don't know why He does what He does. But I've got faith to believe it. God says it's that way. It is. A lot of folks in the world don't understand election and predestination. Over the years, I've run into that a lot. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, before God ever laid the foundation, created the world, or created us back yonder somewhere, so far back we can't imagine it. God chose His people in Christ and wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. How can I explain that to you? I cannot. I can only say by faith, believe it. God said it, Ephesians 1:4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's way back yonder. Let me talk about way in the yonder in the future. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29 means that somewhere in the future, somewhere yonder in heaven's glory, when that time comes, we're gathered home to be with the Lord. Oh, what a day that will be. Then you know what? We're going to be conformed to the glorious image of Jesus. Why? Because God predestinated, predetermined it, and it's going to happen. If all the world is in disbelief, it will not stop God's purpose. He's going to do it. I'm so far short of the glory of God. But listen, one day I'll be in glory and I'll be perfect as Jesus is. And I can't explain it all to you. I don't know all that's involved there. But I know God's able because He's a sovereign God. All I can do now is just take the faith God put in me and say, Lord, You said it, I believe it. No, let me back. You said it, that settles it. And I believe it. Whether or not I believe it or whether or not you believe it doesn't affect that it is settled in heaven. This is a great God. All right, here's my closing remarks. Quickly, number one, exercise your faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Number two, use that faith to trust in God. Say, I don't understand God. Can't find out all His ways. Can't figure out why He does what He does. But I'm going to trust Him. That's the only way you're going to get through this whole world. Trust God with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. And number three, thank God. Thank God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank God for His blessings. Thank God for His truth. Thank God for the revelation of that which He's given. The secret things still belong to God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and our children. Praise God. We can thank Him for what He has given. God bless and help us in understanding what little we can, believing the faith, rest in the realm of faith and trust in God and rejoice in His goodness and His word of truth is my prayer.